This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So do you have a plan? You know, what are you going to do to celebrate when you're done with your 100 Fryman hikes?
My plan is to then do Orange Theory.
No, I mean celebrate. What are you going to do to like be like, yay, I did it?
That's it. I maybe it's not much of a celebration, but my plan is finish these 100 and then try Orange Theory and see if I want it to be on my list for 2024.
I have to say that sounds like a punishment, not a celebration.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
Today, we're going to decide on our team theme for 2024. After we process that, Sarah, it is, in fact, almost 2024. Can't believe it.
I can't even deal with that. And then we're going to talk about each of our words for 2024, and we have a take two on salads.
People had a lot to say about salad. Yes. This week's Hollywood hack will help you be prepared, and Sarah has a documentary series recommendation. Sarah, before we dive in, I just wanted to say a big congratulations to the Satellite Sisters for an amazing run.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know, the Satellite Sisters are a group of sisters who've had either a radio show or a podcast for, you know, I think almost 25 years. I first heard the Satellite Sisters, I think in about 1999. I remember I was in my apartment on Tamarind Avenue, the same building that the Hillside Strangler lived in, by the way. And I heard these women on the radio, these sisters, and I just went nuts for it. And I told my sister, we need to have a radio show. And that was like, in a sense, the first germ of Happier with Gretchen Rubin. And over the years, we've had Satellite Sisters on the podcast. Liz and Leanne Dolan have been on. We've been on their podcast. Anyway, sadly, they have announced that they're going to stop doing new episodes. I think this is their last week.
Oh, and I remember you introduced me to the Satellite Sisters. Right around that time, you would talk about their radio show and how much you loved it and how great they all were and their dynamic as sisters. And I'm so sad, I have to say. I feel like friends are leaving town, kind of, even though,
yes,
you know, they're still here. They're still going to, yes, be active in different ways, but not doing the podcast and not being able to hear their voices. I'm really sad about it.
Yes, and they have built an amazing community across the country, which is great. And their Facebook group is still going to be totally active. They're going to produce new episodes that are sort of old episodes put together. They may do other specials. I know Liz Dolan is planning to do Instagram Live and that sort of thing. So they will be around, but it's not the same. But congratulations on just building this amazing community and being an inspiration to us for all these years.
Yes, I think they've been such an inspiration, certainly for us, but for so many people, certainly for any women podcasters. They've been really inspirational and empowering and just made us feel like, oh, yes, this is a really cool, awesome thing we can do.
Yes. Absolutely. So we'll have, hopefully Liz and Leanne will have on the podcast,
yeah,
in the future so you can hear their voice here.
Okay, Liz, it is time for our Treadmill Desk segment where we talk about what's most pressing in our work life. And this week, it is our team theme for 2024. It is time. It is time to pick our theme.
Yes. So a couple of our past themes, we had What Would Dolly Do 2022, which is really fun because we both had like Dolly Parton pads of paper and Corrine gave us Dolly Parton gifts for Christmas. That was super fun. And then I loved this year's theme.
Yes, this year's theme was Thelma and Louise alt ending. Now, the problem with this year's theme was this year was such a dud, you know, in so many ways. Because of the two strikes, it ended up being a year of, let's say, a giant pause. It wasn't exactly Thelma and Louise cruising down the road.
No, we had this idea of Thelma and Louise and their convertible, like kicking ass and taking names and having an adventure, but not flying off the side of a cliff. And instead, it's more like they blew a tire and were on the side of the road waiting for AAA.
Yeah, for months.
Yeah, for months on end. So this year's theme really didn't come to fruition. So we want next year's 2024 to really guide us toward having a great year.
Yes. And one of the things we've been talking about is last year it was essentially like a field laying fallow where it's just, you just let it sit for a year and it builds up the nutrients and it's good for the soil, hopefully. And then the next year you plant and it's like, woohoo, look at all this beautiful new growth.
Yes, it feels like we're coming alive after a year of being dormant, really. So it's the fallow field that's coming to life. It's the volcano that hopefully is going to erupt in a gorgeous way.
The hibernating bear.
Yes, hibernating bear. All sorts of metaphors we've been kicking around. So some of the team themes we've considered, one was Fallow No More 24, but then we just decided that was not active enough, not and fun enough.
Yeah, exactly. Fallow is sort of fundamentally a depressing word, even though it leads to good things. It's kind of a bummer. So we don't really want our theme to be fallow. Yeah, we talked about from fallow to fired up, but you're just like, ew, that just sounds awful.
Yes. Yeah. We decided fallow just wasn't a word we wanted in our theme.
No.
No, I think I pitched back to normal, which again, because I really just want, that's what I want, back to normal. But again, it's not the most inspiring theme, back to normal.
No. And it's kind of sad that normal, everyday running of things in Hollywood is at this point aspirational, you know?
I know.
It's like, oh,
and also,
God.
I don't think it exists. I don't think it exists. I don't think there is a normal. I don't even know if there's a new normal. I'd like to say there's a new normal, but I think it's changing so fast that we can never land in a normal.
I think there will be a new normal, but I mean, I couldn't predict when. It could be in 3 months or it could be in 3 years or not.
Because it's not just about the strike. It's like the pandemic, the strike, the changing habits of TV viewers. I mean, there's so many
massive
factors.
Vertical integration. I mean, everything. Well, it's not really changing habits of TV viewers so much as companies. It started with that, and then companies have just gone down these roads that have not led to good things for anyone, really, at this point.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so back to normal, we nixed that. And then a couple of words that we liked, but we didn't land on were inferno. That goes to the volcano.
Yes, yes. Phase, we talked about the word phase, that we're entering a new phase. Phase is at least a cooler, more interesting word, but we ended up not really landing on phase either.
Yeah, we didn't find something. Another one was no looking back, like let's just move forward, forget this, forget all that, and just keep going, which we do want to do.
Yes.
But again, not fun when we said, but compare that to Thelma and Louise Ault ending. It's going to be hard to top Thelma and Louise Ault ending.
It is. I'm really bummed that we used that, honestly, on such a blah year. We may have to recycle it.
Maybe down the road.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we decided, okay, we really want to go for the rhyming.
Yeah, so then we literally like went through the alphabet on things that rhyme with four, with kick down doors 2024, be hardcore 2024.
Yes. And then Sarah, I think you came up with what we landed on, which I do like.
Yes.
Drum roll.
Da 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 da. Chuck can put in a really better drum roll than I just did. Hear Us Roar 2024.
Yes. So the idea is that post being fallow, we are going to come back and we are going to roar. You are going to hear us.
We are the MGM lion.
That's right. And we talked about, we need a symbol for our theme. We love a good symbol. So we talked about what roars, lion, tiger, leopard, jaguar. And you Googled it, and lions have the loudest roar. So we decided that lions, I guess lionesses really, are going to be our symbol for 2024. Yes. And I don't think either of us have any lion stuff.
Oh, not one thing.
So that's fun. We can be on the hunt for good lion visualization stuff.
Yes. And I like it too because the old Helen Reddy song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, appeals very much to my mom's second wave feminism, all the music I listened to in the car when I was a little girl.
Yes.
So I'm like, I like the kind of nostalgia of it too.
Yes. That song is like, if I had to associate like one thing with your mom, it would probably be that song.
Absolutely.
So yeah, little nod to Judy here.
Yes.
So Sarah, that's our theme. Hear Us Roar 2024. We got to now go out and do it. We got to get out of this fallow, dormant state, and we got to
roar.
We got to roar. So here goes.
And Liz, coming up, we're going to reveal our personal words for 2024. So our charge into 2024 is building. But first, this break.
Okay, Sarah, it is time for Take a Hike, where we talk about spiritual, mental, physical health, emotional health, all kinds of health. This year, I'd say it's our psychological health, our mental health. We are picking our words of 2024. So we have our team theme, but these are our personal words.
Yes. And I want to start with a confession, which is that I would say since the pandemic, I've been a little wishy-washy in my commitment to things like picking a word of the year. I'll pick one, but then I'll just like kind of forget what it was and not really do it. And this year, I am so focused on all of these, well, focus items. You know, there are things that help me really focus on the things that I want to do. So this year, I am committed. And my word of the year, Liz, is steps.
Okay, now explain all the different ways that you plan to implement steps.
Okay. Obviously, more steps in the day, just as the most basic, obvious one. I want to be getting at least 9,000 steps. 10,000 steps would be good, but 9,000 is what my doctor says is what you really need to get to kind of stave off things like Alzheimer's, for example. So that is one, obviously, version of steps. And then really, it's just I don't feel like I need to accomplish and complete a bunch of things this year, but I want to take steps toward everything. You know, my office build was delayed by first rain, then the strikes. There are so many things I want to do around the house. We're writing this book that is a step toward a whole new arena in our careers. So it's just all about moving forward in a positive way and taking steps in a multitude of directions.
And I love, Tara, you got a really kind of special visual cue for your word.
Yes, I already have a bracelet that says, take steps. And it's really lovely. It's a silver bracelet. I'll post a picture of it on our Facebook group that just says, take steps. And I look at it all the time. And it reminds me, you know, this is my goal. This is what I'm doing right now. I don't have to finish everything. I'm just taking steps.
Yeah, it's very pretty, your bracelet.
It's part of my wristscape. I'm also going to have a wristscape in 2024.
Good. That was one of our Hollywood hacks, have a wristscape.
Yes. And then, Liz, what is your word for 2024?
So my word, Sarah, is book. And it kind of dovetails nicely with yours. So I want a book in the sense that I want to do more cardio. I want to move faster. And the book that you and I have been reading, or you're done with, I still need to finish, Outlive, talks about the need for cardio. So I want to incorporate more cardio in my life. So I want a book. And then, of course, book. I want to finish our book, sell our book, have it in the pipeline.
Yes.
So those are my two big things. Sometimes I have like five different things for the word that, you know, I want to do. This year, it's two things. I want to move and I want to get our book in the publishing pipeline. So very focused. And I'm still hunting for what I'm going to get to symbolize book, because there's almost just too much. You know, literally there are books everywhere. But a few listeners, I was actually talking about my word, and a few listeners have sent me links to places that they think I can find something, because I like the idea of a book with legs. And Gretchen sent me something she created that was a book with legs. So I'm getting there. I'm getting there on my symbol, but I'm not as far down the road as you are with your beautiful silver bracelet.
Now, are you thinking that you'll have it made into a picture or a t-shirt, or what are you going to do when you get your symbol?
I don't know. I haven't decided. I would love a t-shirt, a mug, even just a pin. You know, last year I just had like a little pin of scales, because scale was my word. I had like balanced scales, and I kept it. I have a little lightning bolt dish on my desk that I got from Jonathan Adler, and I kept it in there. And I also keep bracelets in there with words from previous years.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what I find. I'm open. Possibly all. Sarah, possibly all those things.
My shopping possibilities are endless.
Yes. Gosh, that's that's the truth. Book, I mean, yeah. Next year, I got to pick something that is a little more specific in what it looks like. But very excited about our words. As always, we love to hear your words, your themes. Email us at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. We always get so much out of reading about what other people have planned for the year.
Absolutely. Okay, Liz, it's time for take two, where we revisit a topic from a past episode. This time it's last week's episode, episode 342, where I gave a hit to listener Melissa for being my salad tutor. And it just sparked so many things. We feel like we already have to do a take two on salads.
Yes, it turns out you are not alone in your salad struggle, Sarah.
It's such a relief. It's oddly comforting to me to know that. So I wanted to let everyone know that Melissa very kindly posted her salad ingredient list in our Facebook group, along with pictures of her salads and the things she buys at Trader Joe's. It's so thorough. So if you, like me, need a salad tutor, join our Facebook group. Just search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook, and you can see all of those things. They're right there. I printed out her list of ingredients, and I'm very inspired by it.
Good. And then listeners had a lot of suggestions for you, Sarah. Alexis recommended a vegetable chopper.
Yes, which I already had one of these. It's, you know, one of the ones where it has like the little square chopper thing, and you shut the top, and it puts the chopped things in a little container in the bottom. But I had never used it. But someone also posted a video of someone using it to make a chopped salad. So then I made a chopped salad this weekend, and it was delicious, so easy. Violet loved it also. So thank you, Alexis, for inspiring the chopped salad making.
And you found if anyone needs a vegetable chopper, the Full Star vegetable chopper is on Amazon for $24.
Yes. Watch your fingers, though. Both Violet and I.
Yeah, very
fingers
sharp.
Fingers on it. Yes, very. And then Beth reminded me about bagged salads, which is true. At the grocery store, you can always get a good bagged salad. My problem with them is I just don't open them. Like, they'll just sit in my fridge until they get wilty and gross, and I don't want to have them. So they end up just being wasteful for me.
That is a problem if you're not eating them all the time, but it's a valid approach if you're committed to eating salad every day. Corrine said, for work on Monday, I make 5 Greek salads. I start with a layer of bagged coleslaw in a container. She says, I use Ziploc or Gladware, but anything will do. Then add lettuce, hummus, olives, tomatoes, feta. But here is the important part. The vinaigrette goes to the bottom where the coleslaw is. That way, the lettuce doesn't get wilted. When I open it, I mix it around a bit. This is so easy, and I only have the hassle of getting everything out once a week.
So smart. And the vinaigrette, you know, hack. I guess that's a vinaigrette hack.
Yeah.
To keep your lettuce from wilting. And I also like the combo of a bagged salad and a homemade fresh salad. It's like you use it, but it's not the only thing.
Yeah.
And then Meredith reminded me that salads don't require lettuce. There are so many chopped veggie salads. And someone on our Facebook group brought up ambrosia.
Yes. Ambrosia salad, in quotes.
Exactly. But that also inspired me to roast a butternut squash that's just been sitting on my counter. It came in the farm box. And I was like, what am I going to do with this butternut squash? So I roasted it, and I'm going to be mixing it in salads this week. So thank you, Meredith.
And then Camille said, and fruit. Our favorite salad pretty much every night in the summer is mango, avocado, peach, tomato, cucumber, figs, maybe a bit of feta or pine nuts if we're feeling fancy. We had it with pork sausages last night. So good.
Oh, I mean, that sounds delicious.
It really does.
So that will be in my repertoire. And I also wanted to add, hummus is a revelation for me as a salad ingredient. I never thought of it, but clearly people are putting hummus on their salads. And it's so good. It basically takes over as dressing for me. Yes. You just mix it around and it makes the whole thing delicious.
Yeah, it makes it feel a little bit more like a meal, like a little heartier, I think.
Yes.
And you and I love hummus, so. Great suggestions, everyone. Thank you to Team Salad. Sarah is really going to have a lot of amazing salads. I'm getting inspired to make salad. And you, Sarah, are better prepared now for your 2024 goals.
Yes, I am. This is helping me take steps into 2024.
Indeed. Coming up, I have a Hollywood hack that will help you be ready for any occasion. But first, this break.
All right, Liz, it's time for this week's Hollywood hack. This is something that you experienced recently that you want to share.
Yes. So this came up as a hack for me post-hosting Thanksgiving this year. Mm-hmm. And the hack is, don't be afraid to prepare for an occasion early, possibly years early.
Okay, explain.
So let me explain. So I recently, as I said, hosted Thanksgiving, and I was so happy when I did because years ago, I think it was 5 years ago, I had bought some Thanksgiving decor on sale after Christmas because I thought to myself, this is great decor and it's really on sale, half off. I don't have a plan to host Thanksgiving, but I think it is likely that I will host Thanksgiving. Let me buy this and be ready. And let me tell you, Sarah, when it came down that we were hosting, I was so happy I already had stuff. Because there's so much to do when you're hosting, it's nice to have some things established. So I had bought a couple of table runners that were really only for Thanksgiving. You know, there's some things where it's just not going to work any other time. That was these things. But I had them. I had gotten them for a good price. I got them out. They look great. I felt so good about it. And so things like Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, and really just hosting in general, I hate spending a lot of money because you don't use it that often, but you want really nice stuff. But it is the kind of things that are often on sale. So my advice is think ahead, get ready. If it's something that's going to be something that will never go out of fashion that you could use, just go ahead and be ready.
Yes, and you sent me pictures of your Thanksgiving table, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it was so pretty.
You know what? I'll post a photo in the Facebook group. I don't think I did that.
Oh, excellent. And I wanted to add, every year after Christmas, this is similar, I get a really nice Christmas ornament for Violet on sale.
Yes.
So after Christmas, they really drop in price. And every year I get one for the next year for her.
Ah.
So she will have a collection of really nice Christmas ornaments when she, you know, launches into her own life.
Yes, that is a smart idea. And you save it for the next year. Very smart, Sarah. All right, Sarah, finally, you have a recommendation this week. Every week, one of us recommends something we love, whether it be a book, movie, TV show, podcast, and you are recommending a documentary series.
Yes, I am recommending the Beckham documentary series on Netflix, and I have seldom been so surprised to recommend anything ever in my life because I don't care about sports. I think David Beckham is very cute, but I don't really care about him very much either. Victoria, his wife, I think, you know, is lovely, but again, not a main interest for me in any respect. And it's about soccer, which I also really just, I mean, I love Ted Lasso, but it's not like one of the things I love. Turns out I loved this documentary series. And now I love David Beckham. I love Victoria. I'm still not interested in soccer, but it was very entertaining and insightful and kind of moving, which I did not expect. And I didn't even mean to watch it. I just happened to be kind of scrolling and I had a minute. So I started it. And I didn't want to stop. I really recommend this beautiful documentary about David Beckham.
Yes, and I've heard from many people who aren't interested in soccer that they love it. So I started, I'm still in the first episode, but it's just, he's very appealing and so is she. And it's inspiring to sort of hear about his story.
Yes, it's very compelling and their relationship is really compelling. It just completely sucked me in. So highly recommend.
Beckham on Netflix. And that is it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. We love hearing from you. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and please follow us if you haven't already.
Thanks to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and thanks to everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound.
Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13. And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram and Threads at S. Fain, and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Till next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it. So, Sarah, are you wearing your bracelet every day, like never taking it off kind of thing?
Yes, and I got two other bracelets that look really good with it, so I don't forget about it because the weight of them kind of draws my attention, you know?
Ooh, nice.
I'm serious about the wristscape, Liz.
I love it. I love your commitment to 2024. It's good for me. It'll inspire me.
I got to start looking for some book stuff.
Yeah.
From the Onward Project.